إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue reading the explanation of the 40 hadith for Imam al-Nawawi from Al-Minha al-Rabbaniya fi Sharh al-Arba'in Nawawiya, the book of our beloved Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى. الحديث العشرون، حديث number 20. عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. رواه البخاري. This hadith on the authority of Abi Mas'ud Aqba ibn Amr al-Ansari al-Badri radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, among the words people obtained from the first prophecy, as the Shaykh mentioned, from the previous prophets, are, if you feel no shame, then do as you wish. If you have no shyness, do what you want to do. And this is literally, it is translated. But now, inshallah, we're going to, as you're going to hear from the Shaykh, Hafidhahu Ta'ala, what does it really mean? It doesn't mean that, okay, everyone do whatever he wants to do. No, it's not the case. Qala Shaykh, حفظه الله هذا حديث عظيم أيضا قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم تستحي. So likewise, this is a great hadith, a great narration. In it, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you feel no shame, if you have no haya, if you have no shyness and no modesty. And then the Shaykh explained, what is haya? الحياء خصلة عظيمة تمنع الإنسان من الأشياء التي لا تليق به من السفاسف والرذائل وسيء الأخلاق. حياء, which is usually translated as shyness and also as modesty, is a great trait, is a great act and good behavior. It's from the great etiquettes and excellent morals of Islam. حياء, because haya prevents a person from saying or doing or getting involved with anything that doesn't go along with that person. You're a Muslim. A Muslim doesn't do things that doesn't go along with the teachings of Islam. Haya prevents the people from doing evil and getting involved with all vile and despicable act. Haya, shyness, modesty prevent the people from evil manners and perpetrating evil manners. قال فالذي يستحي يمتنع مما لا يليق لأن الحياء يمنعه. So the one who has modesty stays away from anything that is not appropriate. Whether statements and actions are not appropriate for a Muslim to do because of their haya, shyness. They're a human being, they can't do it. But they're not doing it because of the haya, modesty and shyness. قال ولذلك صار الحياء من الإيمان. For this reason, haya became a part of faith. It's from iman to have haya. Is from iman, from faith, to have haya, to have shyness, and to be modest, and to be shy. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. Haya, modesty, shyness, is a branch of faith. Is a branch of faith. فما قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله فالذي لا يستحي هذا دليل على ضعف إيمانه والذي يستحي هذا دليل على كمال إيمانه. He says, so therefore, based on this, this connection that Haya has with faith and Iman, the one who has no shyness, they say whatever they want to say, they do whatever they want to do, they have no modesty, that is a proof that their faith is weak, their Iman is weak. Those who have no Haya, no shyness, that's a proof that their Iman is weak. And the one who has shyness, being shy and modest, this is a proof to the completion of their iman. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت هذا من باب التهديد مثل قوله تعالى فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر فليس تخييرا له أنه يفعل ما يشاء وإنما هو تهديد. Now here, like I said, because here the translation, in English they said, if you have no shame, if you have no shyness, no modesty, do as you want, or do as you wish. It's not like this. The Sheikh, he says, actually this is from the Bab of Tahdeed. This is, contains and entails a warning. And it is the same as the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 29. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah says, whoever wish, let him believe. And whoever wish, let him disbelieve. This is literally the translation. But the Shaykh, he said, this means that the people have an option. This doesn't mean that they have an option to choose Iman or choose disbelief. No. Rather, it is a warning against those who choose the disbelief over belief. Likewise, this is not like, oh, okay, if you have no haya, do whatever you want to do. No, it means that you cannot do whatever you want to do just because you have no haya. And that the person should work, as we're going to read to you from the work of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. As haya is from the akhlaq, from the good manners that Islam called to. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahu ta'ala, he says, when it comes to akhlaq, good manners, some people, Allah put it in them. Alhamdulillah, jibillatan, it is jibillatan, is innate with them. Jibillah. Jibillah meaning it's innate. Allah put it in them. Some people, they haya. That's why you find some non-Muslims, they have haya. They have haya, they're very shy and modest. And also it is muktasab. Muktasab means you have to work for it. You have to learn it. If somebody don't have any characteristic, some people, for example, they're generous, just like that. Allah put it in them. They're very generous. Some people are stingy. And of course, being generous is a good thing. Being stingy is a bad thing. So if a person wants good for himself, he has to learn how to be generous. He has to study that topic. Likewise here, shyness. قال فالحياء خصلة عظيمة يمنع الإنسان من كل رذيلة ويصونه من كل مذمة. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says, الحياء خصلة عظيمة is a great act and behavior considered from the excellent manners and morals of Islam. Because it prevents a person from falling into all evil and despicable acts and statements. It's a shield and protection, give the person a protection from doing things or saying things that now that person became blameworthy for them. People, they say things because of have no haya. And later on, that things they say go back and be against them and use against them. But the one who have haya doesn't say anything. Doesn't go anywhere. The one who's modest and shy doesn't do anything just like that. No, they consider it's like, I can't do this, man. No, there's no way. This is something, it's not befitting for me. I'm a man. I can't say these things to the people. I can act like this. I can't go to those places. What? I have shyness. أي نعم. وأما إذا فقد الحياء فهو مصيبة عظيمة. Then the Sheikh Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, says, if a person is lacking in haya and shyness and modesty, that's a great calamity indeed. The person who have no shyness, that's a calamity. والعياذ بالله. قال فالرجل الذي لا يستحي لا يتحاشى الكذب. And the Sheikh, he gave an example. Said the one who has no modesty, no shyness, he will lie. والعياذ بالله. Lying is easy for those people. ولا يتحاشى سيء الأمور والسفاسف والرذائل. Those who have no shyness, no modesty, no haya, they don't stay away from evil acts, evil statements. It's the same to them. Doesn't matter. Whatever comes to their mind, they do it or they say it. ولا يمتنع عن شرب الخمر والزنا والسرقة وغير ذلك. People who don't have haya, no modesty, no shyness, they drink alcohol. Doesn't matter to them. They drink alcohol, they fall into adultery and fornication, they steal, and other than that. They have no modesty. قال فهذا فيه الحث على الأدب والتخلق بالحياء وفيه دليل على فضل الحياء وأنه لا يأتي إلا بخير. Sheikh says, in this is a proof. This hadith is incite all of us to adorn ourselves with the good manners. In general, the good manners of Al-Islam, especially haya. Especially haya, modesty and shyness. Likewise, he highlights the virtue and the merits of haya. And haya bring nothing but good. Haya, modesty, shyness brings nothing but good. وأن الذي لا يستحي محروم من هذه الخصلة العظيمة. And as for the one who is not shy, feel no shame, he's deprived. That person is deprived from this great characteristic, this great moral. فلا يبالي بما يضره ويقدح في دينه ويقدح في مروءته وفي رجولته. So therefore you find this person who have no modesty, no haya, doesn't pay attention to things that harm him. He just say whatever he want, do whatever he want. And that will reflect in an evil way, in a bad way, in his religion. In his religion, especially the person says he's a Muslim, but no shyness whatsoever, no haya. They still say whatever they want to say. They still go to places they don't supposed to go. And they are missing from the places they're supposed to be. Making reckless decisions. So therefore that have an impact on their religion, on their manhood also. A man doesn't say whatever he wants to say. Talks a lot about anything. Go anywhere. No. وهناك احتمال أن المراد إذا كان الأمر لا يستحي من فعله فافعله إن شئت فهو من باب الإذن لا من باب التهديب. And also the Sheikh says, but as it could mean do as you wish, it could mean that the things that are permissible for you to do, go ahead and do it. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. As the ulama, they mentioned that a person should not be shy. Shyness and modesty is a great moral and etiquette. But if he prevents a person from doing good, he becomes bad etiquette. Like for example, somebody shy and don't ask to learn his religion. Somebody don't come and sit around the people in a circle of knowledge because he's too shy. No, that shyness is no good. Person should ask about his religion. Person should attend the circles of knowledge and don't say, I'm shy to be around the people and the like. Now, and this is what the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan said about this hadith in his book Al-Minha Al-Rabbaniya. Since we have a lot of time, alhamdulillah, I brought with me the other book, one of the books of our noble scholars that explain the Furi Hadith is our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. We'll read to you inshallah his explanation of this hadith number 20 of the Furi Hadith of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen Rahimahullahu Ta'ala he said rather I'm going to read to you the benefits because Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen he brought benefits of this hadith because the first part of it, it was deal with some grammar and it's difficult to translate grammar. We'll leave it for you. Those who know Arabic, you go back to it. Those who don't and still learning, inshallah, the books is going to be available once you can read it, inshallah. قال من فوائد هذا الحديث, number one, from the benefit of this hadith, أن الآثار عن الأمم السابقة قد تبقى إلى هذه الأمة لقوله إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى وهذا هو الواقع. He says that there are certain things that will remain from the previous nations, okay, among this ummah, because the Prophet ﷺ, he says among the words people obtained from the first generations, from the first prophecy. He says, and this is a reality. قال وما سبق من عن الأمم السابقة إما أن ينقل عن طريق الوحي في القرآن أو في السنة أو يكون مما تناقله الناس. He says, as for things that be amongst us, this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, statements or certain things that from the previous nations, how it gets to us? By three ways. All right? It gets to us by three ways. The first way is by the wahi. By the wahi in Quran. Okay? Number two, by the sunnah. Meaning Allah tells us in the Quran about things that took place and happened and was a part of what the people, the previous nations had. Or by the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ informed us about things from the things of the previous nations. Number three, or through words of mouth, as we say. People, they generation to generation, there are certain statements or certain actions that was transmitted from generation to generation amongst the people themselves. Then the Shaykh says, فَأَمَّا فِي الْقُرْآنِ فَفِي قَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. As from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. He gave preference to this life of this world, while the hereafter is way better and everlasting. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. This is in the first suhuf, suhuf Ibrahim or Musa, the scrolls of Ibrahim and Musa. قَلْ وَمَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ السُّنَّةِ فَكَثِيرٌ. As for the sunnah, his many narration, he says, you will find this. كَثِيرٌ مَا يَذْكُرُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ مَا يَذْكُرُ. Meaning, you find many narrations that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us about incidents that took place about Bani Israel, for example. From them is the hadith of the man who killed 99 men. That's from Bani Israel. He was from Bani Israel who killed 99 people, and he killed another one who was a monk, who was 100. That's from the stories of Bani Israel. ثم قال الشيخ: وأما ما يؤثر عن النبوة الأولى فهذا ينقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام. Now he says, the Sheikh, he says, as for any information or anything that has to do with the previous nations, from the practice of the previous nations or prophecies, then it falls under three categories. It falls under three categories. Al-Qismu al-Awwal, the first category of it, meaning a person, because people, they say, oh, Bani Israel, in the time of Musa, they said this and this. You may even hear it in a class. Somebody conducting a class, he says, yeah, the people of Nuh, they did this and this. Oh, in the time of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, or Isa, alayhi salam, this happened to him, or this is what he said. All these statements and actions, these narrations, fall into three categories. The first category, ما شهد شرعنا بصحته فهو صحيح المقبول. Anything that the legislation of Islam proved to it to be sound, yes, it is sound and we accept it. Anything that's in the Quran and the Sunnah tells us about it and it is sound, نعم, we say it is sound. Okay. القسم الثاني ما شهد شرعنا ببطلانه فهو باطل مردود. But if we find in our legislation of Islam, whether the Quran or the Sunnah, that they say to us that certain actions are falsehood, there they are falsehood to us and rejected. Okay? والثالث ما لم يرد شرعنا بتأييده ولا تفنيده فهذا يتوقف فيه وهذا هو العدل. In the third category, you may find statements people say, stories that they narrate from the people of the past nations before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will find that you don't have no proof from the Quran nor from the Sunnah that says it is sound or it is not. So what do you do with these narrations? You leave them alone. Okay, you don't say that they are false, you don't say that they are not, because our legislation didn't. So now three categories in summary: any statements, any story, any incidents that is related to the people of the past, the previous nations, it is sound if its authenticity is proven by the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is considered falsehood if we have a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that saying that such a thing is falsehood. If we don't have nothing, the Quran and the Sunnah didn't say anything about such incident or statement or story, then it needs to be left alone. قال ومع ذلك لا بأس. The Sheikh said this is هذا هو العدل. This is the just way. Okay? And then he said ولكن مع ذلك لا بأس أن يتحدث به الإنسان في المواعظ وشبهها وشبهها إذا لم يخشى أن يفهم المخاطبون صحيح. Said however, from those stories of the people of the past, that we have no hadith, no ayah or hadith that says they are sound. The Sheikh said, however, still it's okay to bring them in mawa'id, in admonition, not in aqidah, in admonition. If a person trying to soft the hearts of people and there is a nice story, want to bring it, the Sheikh said it's okay. Unless if that person may think that the people will accept this story as to be sound, and then he leave it alone. Leave it alone or make it clear to them. And then the Sheikh, he mentioned some stories now, some incidents, okay, that is proven to the Quran and in the Quran, and those who have no base to it, okay? وَمِمَّا يُذْكَرْ عَنْ دَاوُودَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And so the story of Dawood, Nabi Allah Dawood, عليه الصلاة والسلام, حينما دخل محرابه أي مكان صلاته وجعل يتعبد وأغلق الباب. He went to his mihrab. What is the mihrab? This word means a place when a person always go to and remember Allah. Seclude himself. Okay? Like for example, in someone's house, he have this room to himself. He goes there, read Quran, read books, pray the nafil, pray the sunnah. It's not like a person is reading Quran in living room and his family members, kids coming up and down. No. So he's going to have a room far, and so he gave him what? Privacy. Okay, it's privacy, it's calmness, because a person needs these things. You need privacy. You have to be calm when you want to remember Allah and you want to read the Quran. Not read the Quran in front of people playing, running. It's going to take away from the khushu'. So he said, so Dawood alayhi salam, he had a place like this that he used to go to and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform prayer and the like. So he went once in there and he began to remember Allah and he locked the door. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم قد جعله الله تعالى خليفة في الأرض يحكم بين الناس. As Dawood alayhi salam, in his time Allah has made him a khalifa on earth to judge between the people. Any disputes, the people go to Dawood alayhi salam. Okay? فجاء الخصمان فلم يجد الباب مفتوحا. Somebody give me a noble Quran. Muhammad is right there. So, two opponents, people have some issues, disagreement. They came to him because now they were ordered to go to him. Jazakallah khair. To go to him whenever there is a dispute or disagreement between them, they go to Dawood alayhi salam. So when they came, لم يجد الباب مفتوحا. Normally the door be open so they can get in and ask him, and he judged between them. But when they came in, they didn't find the door open. It was locked. فتصور الجدار فنزل على داود. These people, what did they do? They didn't go back. They climbed the wall and they jumped in front of him. And he was afraid. He was scared when he see people jumping in front of him in his room. So he's now remembering Allah, khushu', all of a sudden a group of people jump in front of him. Okay? فتصور الجدار ففزع منهم كعاز البزر. He says he was scared. He's a human being. He's a prophet, but he's a human being. قالوا لا تخف. They said to him, don't be afraid. We're not here for anything else. قالوا, they said, the Shaykh says, هذا يدل على أنهم أكثر من اثنين. This means that they are more than two. If they were two, what they would say? قال مثنى. فقالوا خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض. As Allah tells us in Surah Sa'd, chapter 28, or 38 actually. But let us say from the verse 21 actually. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ اِتَّصَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. And has the news of the litigants, or litigants, which one?
Litigants.
Litigants. And has the news of the litigants reached you when they climbed over the wall into his mihrab, the praying place or private room. اِتَّخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشتت واهدنا الى سواء الصراط. When they entered in upon Dawood alayhi salam, he was terrified of them. They said, fear not, we are two litigants, one of whom has wronged the other, therefore judge between us with truth and treat us not with injustice, and guide us to the right way. And guide us to the right way. Subhanallah. And then one of them says, Inna hadha akhi. Inna hadha akhi. Lahu tis'un wa tis'un na'jah. Waliya na'jatun wahidah. Faqala akfilniha wa azzani fil khitab. He says, verily, one of them says, verily, this is my brother in religion, not in blood, in religion. Like you, my brother Abdullah, okay? And all of you, alhamdulillah. Verily, this my brother has 99 EWES.
Ewes.
Sheep.
Yes.
Okay, sheep. Ewes. while I have only one. And he says, hand it over to me. And he overpowered me in speech. He was more eloquent, as the Sheikh says. قال أي غلبني أي نعم. شوف here, سبحان الله, beautiful point the Sheikh mentioned. قال هؤلاء خصوم. These people who entered upon Dawood, they litigants, which mean opponents, and they have dispute. They disputed about something. Usually, people who dispute about something. Can you imagine? Okay, look what the Sheikh says. But still one of them says, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي. They have a dispute, and he said to him, listen, I have an issue with my brother here. قَالْ وَهَذَا أَدَبٌ رَفِيعٌ. The Sheikh said, this is, subhanAllah, good manners. Still have a problem with somebody and say to him, this is my brother. قَالَ الشَّيْخُ الْعَثَيْمِينَ لَوْ كَانَ فِي وَقْتِنَا هَذَا لَقَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا الْمُجْرِمَ الظَّالِمُ. The Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, look what this man said about his opponent, that he have a dispute with him and he wants to take his sheep. He says, but he still say, look, this my brother here wants to take my property. He says, if it's in our time, two people stand in front of the judge, and the first thing this person may say, you see this criminal here? You see this oppressor criminal? Subhanallah. Right or wrong? This mujrim. This criminal here want to take my property. But he said, look, ya akhi, look at the adab, subhanAllah. Look at the adab of the people. Even when things happen between you and between your brother, he's still your brother. Why can't say, look, we're here. Instead, in front of the judge, for example, here in America, we don't have Muslim judge as far to my knowledge. If somebody knows, please let us know. Alhamdulillah. But then you go to, usually people, they go to the imam of the masjid. And we're talking about masajid of Ahlul Sunnah, because we are not calling and we are not advising the people to go to the imams of Ahlul Bidah. Now, when we say this, we are a masjid, alhamdulillah, established upon the Sunnah. And when we say you go to the imam, so me personally refer imam of Ahlul Sunnah. Tayyib. So when they say, mashallah, this is the etiquette. Even that a person may took your property or said something bad to you, or he says, I'm here because my brother, subhanAllah, adab, not my, this criminal, this, I don't know, this evil. Some people, they say, this shaitan right there. No. Can't say these things. So when this person said what he says, داود عليه السلام said, لقد ظلمك بسؤال نعجتك إلى نعاجه وإن كثيرا من الخلطاء إلا يبغي بعضهم على بعض إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وقالوا ما هم وظن داود أن ما فتناه فاستغفر ربه وخر راكعا وأناب فغفرنا له ذلك. So when the man said what he has to say, داود عليه السلام said immediately and without listening to the opponent, he says, he has wronged you in demanding your you in addition to his yous. And verily, many partners oppress one another, except those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and they are few. And Dawood guessed that we have tried him, and he sought forgiveness of his Lord. And he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. So we forgave him that. And verily, for him is a near access to us and a good place of final return, paradise. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَقَدْ زَعَمَ الْيَهُودَ أَنَّ لِدَاوُودَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ جُنْدِيًّا لَهُ امْرَأَةٌ جَمِيلَةٌ وَأَرَادَهَا دَاوُودٌ. Now, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen is going to refute one of the falsehoods that the Jews propagate. He said the Jews, they claim that Dawood alayhi salam, in his army, he was this soldier. And that soldier, he was married to this beautiful woman. And as the Jews, they say, Dawood wants that woman. But how he going to get this woman? He can't marry her, she already married. قال ولكي يتوصل إليها أمر هذا الجندي أن يذهب في الغزو من أجل أن يقتل فيأخذ داود زوجته. Because of this, they claim لعنة الله عليهم that داود has to come with a plan. A prophet of Allah. They have to come up with a plan to send this man to fight so he can be killed and therefore Dawood can marry his wife. That's what they say. قال وهذا لا شك أنه منكر. الشيخ ابن عثيمين says no doubt whatsoever this is falsehood, man. It's false, it's evil. ولا يقع من عامة الناس فكيف من يقع من النبي. This is something that doesn't happen from the common folks. Don't do things like this. So what about a prophet? قال لكنهم افتروا على الله كذبا وعلى رسوله كذبا. He says but the Jews, one thing about them, they lie against Allah, not just against his prophets. They lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala والعياذ بالله. قال فإن قال قائل ما وجه قوله وظن داود أنما فتناه واستغفر ربه وخر راكعا وأناب. He said then the Sheikh says if somebody may say well, how we understand the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says and Dawood guessed that we have tried him, put him to test and trial, and he sought forgiveness of his Lord and he fell down prostrate and turned to Allah in repentance. Al-Jawab, the answer, and الذي حصل من داود عليه السلام في شيء من المخالفات. He says because when that man came and says, look, this brother of mine has 99 sheep and I have only one. And he still says, look, hand it over to me. So, but Dawood, he talked and he gave his ruling. And by doing that, in that way, he fell into some violations. Alayhi salam. أولاً, first of the violation, أنه انحبس في محرابه عن الحكم بين الناس. وكان الله تعالى قد جعله خليفة يحكم بين الناس ولكنه آثر العبادة القاصرة عن الحكم بين الناس. The first, if you say مخالفة, which is usually translated as a violation, is that he secluded himself in his place of worship, in his private room of worship, and he didn't make himself available to judge between the people, especially since Allah made him on earth as a judge, to judge between the Khalifa, to judge between the people. But at that moment, he preferred ibadah, worship, which is benefit him by himself. Okay, when he go read or do, that's a benefit for himself over that which will benefit the people and judge between them. ثانيا, number two, violation number two, أغلق الباب مما اضطر الخصوم أن يتسوروا الجدران وربما يسقطون ويحصل فيها ضرر. Number two, he locked the door. And the people, the litigants, has to climb the wall. And by doing this, they may fail. Okay. All right. You tell me about your English. They may have fail. All right. As the brothers said, they may have fail, not fallen.
Fallen.
Actually, see, it's fall, fail, fallen. Both of them. Okay. يجوز الوجهان, because that's what I was thinking about. Fallen. They may have fallen, they may have failed. And they may hurt themselves. Number three, أنه عليه الصلاة والسلام حكم للخصم قبل أن يأخذ حجة الخصم الآخر. That he judged for that person who spoke first without listening to the other. Without listening to the other. You see? He said, he has wronged you by asking you to give him your you. Okay? طيب. قال وهذا لا يجوز. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said this is not permissible. What is not permissible? He said, لا يجوز للحاكم أن يحكم بقول أحد الخصمين حتى يسمع كلام الخصم الآخر. شيخ العثيمين, he says, in general, any judge, حاكم, anyone who's going to judge between opponents, it's not permissible for him to base his judgment or his ruling on one statement without listening to the other. Now I'm going to listen to the other. If two people come to the judge and one complain, one is the plaintiff and one is the defendant, right?
Yes.
Who's the plaintiff? The one who complained or who complained against?
The one who's complaining.
The one who's complaining is the plaintiff, and the one who's being complained against is the defendant. So the judge called both of them. And this person speak, this person defend himself. He can say, yes, he's right. He can say, no, he's not right. He can say he's right in certain things, but he's not on others. As long as the judge listens to the other person. And this is very important. I want to share with you a story that one of the Qudat of the Salaf of the past, I forgot his name right now, and he used to sit, the majlis, and the people will come, and he will listen to the people and judge between them. And he has students with him who's learning to be judge. And one day, this woman came and she was complaining and crying. I mean crying. And after she finished what she say, and she crying and this, the judge said to her, all right, we heard what you have to say. We have your information. We'll let you know. We're going to investigate. As she left, the young apprentice, if you can say that, who's learning, he was moved by what? Emotionally by the woman, crying. And he said to the judge, how you sent her? She's crying. She's got to be right. Look at her. Look at her conditions. Subhanallah, she's crying. The judge said to him, so now you're telling me she got to be right just because she's crying? He says, yes, look at her. He says, okay, well, now you're telling me that the brothers of Yusuf, they were right too. He says, now you're telling me that the brothers of Yusuf, they were right. Because Allah says, وَجَاءُ أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. After they did what they did, they turned to, once they get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam, and they fabricated a lie, how they came to their father, what? Crying. Subhanallah, hikmah, crying. Then the students, he learned that he has to just take notes. Hey now. The judges, sometimes they have to use hikmah, wisdom. Two people came in front of the judge. And one of them says, look, this man borrowed money, a lot of money. And I gave it to him because he's my brother, I want to help him out. And I gave him a time. When that time came, I went to him, and he says, man, I don't know you, you never give me anything. You never give me anything, you gave it to somebody else. I said, I know him, I gave it to him. The judge says to the man, he gave you? He said, he didn't give me anything. I told him that. I'm telling you in front of you, the judge, this man gave me anything. I don't know this guy. He just came to me once, stopped me, says, hey, give me my money. You borrow. He said, I don't know him. The judge turned to the man and says, you have a proof? You have anything? Witnesses? He says, Allah is my witness. He said, okay, he's going to help you in Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. And he may help you here if Allah make it, inshallah ta'ala, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. Allah is your witness. But me as the judge, a human being, I need to see something what? Tangible? Yes. Lucrative?
Evidence.
Evidence. I want to see some evidence. Alhamdulillah, Allah is your witness, Allahu Akbar. But now I want to see some evidence. Me, I can't just take your statements. Well, he's telling me too, Allah is his witness. What am I going to do now? He said, do you have any paper written? Did you write this thing? He says, no. He says, oh, okay. He said, can you think of anything? Where? He said, where did you give him this money? He says, under this tree. Oh, tree. Okay. Then the judge says, that man, the one who actually complaining, he said to him, I want you to go to that tree. I'm going to keep this man here. You go to the tree and sit there, even though it's been a long time, just go there. It may help you to think about any detail. Even if it looks to you small, just bring it to me. I'm the judge. I know what to do, inshallah. So he went. The judge, he continued. You know, he said to the same, sit down, inshallah, wait for the guy, okay? We wait. Make yourself comfortable. You want something to drink? Go ahead, inshallah. And he kept judging between the people. Come here, what happened? Oh, yeah, this and this. Oh, yeah, okay, you're right, he's wrong. Okay, come here. After a while, he turned to the man who denied and he says, you think that man is by the tree now? He says, oh, no, that tree is far. See? He said, you think he's by the tree right now? He says, no, he can't make it that fast. That tree is far. He said, how would you know? See? The liar, they says, just wait for a while and ask him again. If somebody lie to you, just ask him again. Just wait. They give you an answer now. If somebody says, what do you mean last week? I was at my mother's house. Okay, your mother's house. Don't argue. Wait a little bit and say, what do you mean that day? I was at work. See, he give you another answer because it's not the truth. Because at that moment, they just make up something. Wait and ask them again. They're going to give you, usually they give you another answer. So the Sheikh, he says, if somebody wants to judge between people, and by the way, this is not for anybody, okay? But have to listen to both opponents, both parties. Some masajid, you find the imam who's not qualified, he don't know these things. A sister come and cry. Maybe she's the one that did it. She's the big problem. She's the fitna maker. And just because she came and cried to that imam and he's soft, has soft heart, now that's it. He already like ruled for her against her husband without even listening to him. No, he's whatever. She cried, whatever. I don't know, even if she come with a scar, she may did it to herself. Alright? She's like, look, he smashed my windows, my car. Maybe she did it herself. Real wrong. Abdul Majid, possible. He don't know. So what he need to do? He need to say, okay, Jazakallah khair, we listen to you right now. Now we're going to call your husband. If she's not truthful, usually, as it happened before, no, you don't have to tell him anything. You don't have to be, I'm okay, I'm giving my rights away. And now, likewise, a husband come, Akhidis sister, blah, blah, blah. Okay, listen to you, alhamdulillah. But now what we need to do is to listen to her too. Two partners. Somebody sold the car to the other, and then is the one who bought the car, Akhidis brother, A'udhu billah, what salafiyah he's upon, astaghfirullah. Okay, you listen to him, and bring the other person. Okay, now we're going to bring the other brother. Akhi ta'ala, this brother, he's saying this and this. He may not be true, and he may be true. That's the only way you can decide. Likewise, this guy borrowed money from this guy. And now he's like, no. So now you're going to bring both people. Akhi, this brother, he says that he borrowed money. You borrowed money from him. He says, then the brother will say, yes, he's right. Then you turn to the brother and like, what do you mean? Yeah, what is the problem? He says, yeah, I'm not denying I borrowed, but I borrowed 100. He says 1,000. I don't know where he bring 1,000. I have a paper right here. It's 100. See, sometimes it be arguments. Mistakes. Sometimes it may be two people borrowed money from him. 100 and 1,000. And he mixed up. And he thought the one who borrowed 100, he's the one who borrowed 1,000. And then when the judge... here, not like literally, anyone who's doing, he has to have some skills. Patience. He has to listen. And if he don't know, he said to them, okay, I don't know. Akhi, we came to you and we spent 2 hours. Now you waste our time. I ain't waste your time. I tried, but I don't know. Go to somebody else, brothers. Alhamdulillah. You came to me. I didn't look for you. You came to me. So I'm telling you right now, after listening to both of you, I don't know. You want me to ask one of the mashayikh for you? MashaAllah, I make a phone call. But if you want me to tell you now what I think, I don't know. Okay, so they call your name or not, do what is gonna help those brothers. And the only thing that's gonna help them is the haqq, is the truth. Not falsehood. Falsehood doesn't help anybody. Falsehood make it worse. طيب لأن الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى says والحياء نوعان حياء يتعلق بحق الله عز وجل وحياء يتعلق بحق المخلوق. He said when you come to حياء benefit from الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله, he says there is حياء shyness and modesty with Allah سبحانه وتعالى as related being a right, one of the rights of Allah, and also the haya as it relates to the rights of the creation, the human being and the like. How do we understand the haya as it relates to the rights of Allah? قال فيجب أن تستحي من الله عز وجل أن يراك حيث نهاك وأن يفقدك حيث أمرك. We have to have shyness and haya with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Haya من الله. How? He says that he should not see you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not see you in places he forbade you to be in. And you should not be missed and absent in places he commanded you to be in, subhanAllah. See? This is how haya. For a person have to apply the haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen says that you should not be where Allah command you to stay away from and not to be. If Allah forbid us from certain places, we shouldn't be in those places. That's haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't be missing any action by not being in the places that Allah command us to be in, like in the salawat for men to be in the salat and the like, unless if someone has an excuse and a valid excuse. قال وأما الحياء من المخلوق فأن تكف عن كل ما يخالف المروءة والأخلاق. He says, as for how you apply the حياء with the creation, with the people, he says, by you abstaining when you're around the people, while you're dealing with them, you abstain from anything that doesn't go along with the real manhood, the مروءة, the أخلاق, and the good etiquette that every man should adorn themselves with. And he mentioned an example. قال في مثلا في المجلس العلمي لو أن إنسان في الصف الأول مد رجليه فإنه لا يعتبر حياء لأن هذا يخالف المروءة. The Sheikh gave an example. He says in a circle of knowledge and a person is sitting in the front rows and he stretch his legs. That's what he said. Stretch them open. So this is not from haya. It's not from haya to be sitting in the first rows in a circle of knowledge and put your feet, stretch them. Of course, unless somebody has a valid reason, sick or something. This is not from good manners. لكن لو كان يجلس بين أصحابه مد رجليه فإن ذلك لا ينافي المروءة. As opposed, if somebody is in a private gathering with his friends, people that he got used to, it's okay. لا بأس. It's okay to extend his feet. With this, the Shaykh says, فَالْأَوْلَى, but still, it will be better for that person, even amongst his friends, acquaintance, that he usually sit with, still, if he wants to stretch his feet like that, in front of them, still say, you don't mind guys, I got bad knees, you don't mind if I stretch, نعم. Just one example. I mean, the Shaykh, he mentioned, as I shared with you in the beginning, that haya is two types, tabi'i, gharizi, jibilli, wa muktasab. This haya we're talking about here It could be gharizi, is innate. Okay? Person, Allah put it in the people. But then, there is the some people, they don't have it, so they have to earn it. They have to learn more about it and study it. And try themselves to adorn themselves with haya. That's why you see certain people, the way they talk to you, they don't even look at you in the face or the eye. They humble, they nice. They even though they cannot go somewhere, they try to tell you no in the best way. The way they talk to you is nice way. They don't talk in front of everybody. Allah. They don't come and ask you too many questions. They don't come and put you on the spot, bothering you with so many demands and can you help me, can you give me, can you not? They have haya, they have shyness. They have shyness. The way they walk, they ain't walking in the streets and yelling and looking all over. They go straight. They don't look to their right, to their left, checking everybody. They look straight. They don't spend a lot of time in the streets, on the sidewalk, because of their haya. Some people, they don't even drink their juices or eat food on the streets. They gotta be at home or somewhere because of the haya. Because of the haya and the shyness. Before they say anything, they think about it. The Sheikh, he says, and you should know, Sheikh Mu'tamin, he says, that اعلم أن الحياء خلق محمود إلا إذا منع مما يجب. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى, when he mentioned that some people when they come to حياء, the people when they come to حياء, they're not on the same level. Some people, they have this shyness, this modesty. You see it in the way they talk, in the way they dress, in the way they walk, in the way they sit. They shy, they modest. Other people, they don't. They are not modest. They dress any way they want. They walk any way they want. They say anything. They don't care. The Sheikh says, for those that Allah made them like that, alhamdulillah, they have to thank Allah for that. And this is good. Those who don't have the haya and the shyness, they should earn it. And the Sheikh, he says, by them being in the gatherings of those who have these characteristics of haya, these characteristics of shyness, these characteristics of haya and shyness, being around the good people, so you can learn from them, especially the ulama. See, that's the problem. You find people, they learn Salafiyah, the manhaj, from books, from CDs and tapes, but they don't learn it from the ulama. And that's a big difference. Those who go and sit in there with the ulama, and they learn not just knowledge, but they learn the akhlaq, the good manners. They look at the sheikh, how he sit, how he comes to the class. Even when the sheikh sneezes, what does he do? If he wants to yawn, what does he do? If you want to drink water, does that sheikh even drink water in front of the people or not? If that sheikh is asked a question, if something happened, if somebody started yelling at the sheikh in his class, because it happens sometimes, how the sheikh had handled these things, you learn a lot. But the problem you find, some people, they just learn from books, learn from CDs, and heard about it, never sit in front of the people of knowledge, alayka salam wa barakatuh. So they may like, alhamdulillah, no minhaj this, but what is akhlaq? No akhlaq. No manners, they have no haya, no modesty, no shyness, because they never seen it, they didn't see it displayed in front of them. They heard of it, but they never see it. It's like someone, you can give them the theory of making a computer, but they never seen it. They know, they can tell you, look, you got to take this part and put it in the other part, and put the other one, when you finish from this, make sure there's 4 screws in here, blah, blah, blah. But then when you bring a computer part, they don't even know what the parts are. Tell him, which part are you talking about? He says, I don't know, man. And why? Because he never been in front of an iTech or computer engineer or whatever to see it, how it is put into practice. Likewise, That's why they say that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, his circle used to be a lot of people. They say maybe like 10,000, 8,000 or so people. But only a few people, they learn the hadith. They write the hadith, 400 or 500. As for the rest of the people, they just dare to learn the manners and the adab of this great imam. Alayka as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. ثم قال الشيخ, and you should know that the haya, that is, it is a great manner, and it is praiseworthy, unless if it prevents a person from what is obligatory upon them. If it prevents them from achieving what is obligatory upon them, like learning the deen, that which is obligatory upon them, or if it leads them to fall into the haram. Somebody, for example, want to give him a beer. Drink, akhi. But he's so shy. He's like, no, I can't tell him no. And drink. No, that's haram. That's not a good shyness. That's a blameworthy shyness, because he's a shy of a person falling into the haram. La. Likewise, the Shaykh, he says, a person see an act of evil but don't want to talk about it because they're too shy. No, you shy is a good thing, but still say, ya akhi, mashallah, jazakallah khair, this and this and that. The Shaykh says, so the person who have no haya, they just do whatever they want to do. And they get themselves a lot of trouble. They humiliate themselves because they have no haya, no shyness. They don't think about statement. They just go and say whatever they want to say to the people. And the people, they may help them, they may humiliate them. Because they don't have no shyness, no haya, no modesty. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, that's why when the people do something very bad, usually people say, this guy has no shyness. A'udhu billah. See, they say, have no shyness. When they see someone doing something bad, they say, this man has no shyness, no modesty. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Meaning has that man has modesty in them that prevent them from saying what they say or do what they did. Because people, they see things and they want to do things, they want to say things, they want to be also, loud, but they're like, no. What prevent them? Haya. That's what prevent them. Their haya and modesty, says, no, I can't be like him. He has no haya. He's talking in front of everybody. He's disrespecting the masjid. He's yelling. Like, for example, somebody is yelling in the masjid to another person, but the other person ignoring him. It's not because he's afraid of him. No, because this person have haya, this person doesn't have it. Because this person have haya. He says, look, I'm in the house of Allah. I can't yell. I can't raise my voice. Then he's like, these brothers in the masjid, and it's not their problem what's going on between me and this man. They don't have to hear it. See, he has haya, modesty. And he keep going. Later on, when he see that person by himself, he says, come here, now I want to talk to you. The other person have no haya. He's yelling, you this and this. He has no respect for the masjid, the house of Allah. Has no respect for the people. And this is a big mistake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in all matters, and especially this one. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.